See, James points out that what everybody in the room has probably realized. Now, again, if y'all know me, what you get is what you see. How many of you, like me, have stuck your foot down your throat and swallowed your toes, your knees, and probably up to about here because of this little thing here? Yeah. If you're not raising your hand, let me just tell you, you have. Because the Bible says that, and James says, listen, this thing, if you can control this, the rest of life would be easy. James points out that we've all experienced it. You know, with kids, they're not born with filters. Anybody ever dumb enough to ask your kid what they really think about your dress or your suit or am I fat or am I not? Don't do that. For those of you who have little kids that can't talk yet, don't ask them those questions because they'll break your heart. Most of y'all know Emma. She's my 18-year-old special needs daughter. And a few weeks ago, she comes out of her room. I'm sitting on the couch. One evening, I think I had like put on some shorts and a t-shirt, and we have a big corner lounge, which is that's my chill place. And so I was just laid out watching mind-numbing TV or something. And Emma walks out of her room. She has her headphones in. She's listening to something on her little tablet. She pulls it out and she says, "Daddy, your belly's huge." She puts her headphones back in and walks back off. And I was like, and Melanie's sitting on the other side of the couch from me, and she was like, I'm like, is that, you don't know why she did that, or are you telling me she's not wrong? You know? And Emma's done that before. We were telling Aaron as we were hanging out last night with Emma that, like, she's got no filter. Like, and it's embarrassing, like, you know, going up to ladies, and if she's probably done it to some of y'all, and ladies, I'm sorry, but she's like, "Hey, my name's Emma, are you pregnant?" Like, well, there's really only one reason why you're asking that, you know, and most people are gracious and laugh it off, but they don't have filters. And see, even King David in Psalm says, in Psalm 41, he says, "Hey, take control of what I say, God, and guard my lips." With this idea that if you could clamp the lips down, you can control what the tongue does. That all of us have said things, and it not only can it cause problems, but I think we need to understand this, and James kind of nails on this, that my words really point toward where I'm going. Even if I'm thinking something different, I'm thinking I want to be successful, I want to have a good life, I want to have a good marriage, I want to serve God, I want to do these things. If your tongue is saying other things, then you can think that all you want, but you're going a different direction. And James makes it very clear. I'm going to read this out of the Message paraphrase. Again, the Message is a paraphrase version. The guy wrote it so his family could understand it, but I like the way he says this. He says that a bit in the mouth of a horse controls the whole horse. A ship rudder on a huge ship, in the hands of a captain, he can set course. If you've ever been on a cruise, you see these boats that are just ginormous, and you know there's 5,000 people on them, and you know they drive that with a little joystick like you would play Nintendo with. And James goes on to say that a word out of your mouth may seem like no big deal, but it can accomplish nearly anything. And then he adds in the other side, or what? Destroy it. So you can use what God put in you in this tongue, and you can speak life, you can say positive things, you can have good conversations, but the Bible says, hey, be careful. Because you can destroy it. And I don't know if you're like me, guys, I don't argue with my wife a lot because I've realized ahead of time she's smarter than me. So I don't debate her. But you ever had those arguments where you think you're making, you know, you're making gains? Like, I'm proving my point and proving my point and proving my point. And then you just go too far, like, I should have shut up 10 minutes ago. Like, and it's like, yeah, okay, I lose. I'm out. You know, because you just take it too far, because you can go too far. You can push it. See, our words steer our lives. They do the same thing. Words take you a different way. And you can fulfill both. I truly believe this. You can fulfill the good that you speak, but you can also have that self-fulfilling prophecy of the bad that you speak. And we say things all the time. Who else says this. That kills me. Oh, come on. I know I'm not the only one. I hear y'all say it. Or we watched, you know, something, and we mean that either it makes us laugh or it aggravates me, but we say stuff like that all the time, that the little words that we speak can change things. James 3, 5 and 6, he goes on to say, hey, it only takes a spark to set off a forest fire, a careless or wrongly placed word out of your mouth. But our speech can ruin the world. And then he gives these definitions. Without going into all the history of it, do you know that world wars were started just over words? Disagreements, whole countries went to war because of what people said and what people did. James goes on to say, hey, you can turn a peaceful situation. Again, this is at home, maybe in your marriage. Have a peaceful situation, and you can turn it to chaos quick, right? Like, this is a great Saturday afternoon. We're having a great weekend, and all of a sudden, it's like, what happened? We've had those moments. We're having a great afternoon, and then something, like, you find yourself like, how did we go from really thanking God and enjoying our house and home and family to you know, turmoil and chaos? The Bible, he says you can throw mud on a reputation. There are people whose lives are ruined simply because you or I or somebody decides to say something about them that's not true. Especially in today's society, you don't even have to say it. You can just tweet it, right? Yeah, I met this guy, Mike, and you should see Mike did this. And Mike didn't do all that, but now that it's in the truth of the Twittersphere and the internet, it's true, and everybody takes it on. And you're throwing mud on people. The Bible, it goes on to say a whole world can go up in smoke. And it all comes from one place. From the pit of hell. It's coming from the devil. He uses our mouths and our tongues to divide us, to chop us up, to separate us. And see, you need to understand this. Your words can demolish. And I left the dots there because there's too much stuff, there's too much you can put in there. Your words can destroy things. This phrase, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me, is a complete lie. And we say it all the time. We teach, you know, your kids, whatever they say about you, don't worry about it, the words won't hurt you. Oh, no, no, no. I have friends who've lost children to suicide because kids said the same thing. Or adults. Parents, don't ever tell your kids they're worthless. Amen. Don't ever tell your kids that they'll never get it right. Don't ever tell your kids that I just need to have the police come get you because you just can't behave. They will fulfill your words over their lives. They will find root in their hearts. Because your words can destroy lives. It can destroy people's emotional health. We all know these people. Anybody know what I call a grenade? Amen. Somebody's a grenade. These are people who walk in the room and then they just vomit all over everybody and say, I mean, just they have no filter. They don't stop. They have nothing. They never say anything nice. It's just like throwing a grenade in a room and then ducking for cover. It explodes and it doesn't care who it takes out. That's because your words can demolish life. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 10, I'm sorry, this is chapter 18, that the tongue can bring death or life. And those who love to talk will reap the consequences. Anybody know somebody that, like, they could talk the pain off a stop sign? Or they'll argue with the stop sign? So my girls are that way sometimes. Like, you may be right, but you're not going to win just because I'm dad. And I don't care if that stop sign says stop. Today it says go. And they just, you know, because when we understand that my words and talking, that you're going to pay the consequence. And this lie that we have, that I can just get by with it. The Proverbs chapter 10 says, the more talk I have, the talk I give, the less truth. King Solomon wrote that. The more you talk, the less you tell the truth. Does that sound like politicians in Washington, right? Like, just tell me your name and stop talking, because everything after that's not going to be true. And we have people that are that way. You may be that way. That the Bible says that the tongue can bring death or life, because the tongue ultimately does this. Your mouth will ultimately reveal your heart. It will ultimately go, without you having to tell anybody what it says, it's like if you could pull back and go, okay, I can read all of your issues just by the way you talk and the way you treat people. And those issues may be of no fault of your own. You may have had an abusive relationship or had a bad experience with a father or a mother or an aunt or uncle. Or God forbid, there are people who said that they've been hurt and wounded in church. One of the things that just it breaks my heart and makes me angry as a pastor, that there are pastors who would wound sheep with their tongue because they don't think about what they're saying, or they try to manipulate and guilt you into taking your one step and to letting God begin to just heal your heart and then let you take your one step where you are to where God wants you to be. And that's your words will reveal. They'll unveil your heart. The Bible says in James chapter 3, verse 9, that sometimes your mouth, this tongue, praises the Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in His image. The creation curses the thing that created us. Then it goes on to say, and blessing and come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely this is not right. He even goes further. I didn't put you the scriptures, but he goes further to ask. He goes, can salt water come out of a freshwater spring? Can grapes grow on a fig tree? Do apples grow on orange trees? And he answers it at the end by saying, no, because it's not right. God created us and gave us a way, believe it or not, I believe, to be able to rein the tongue in. That what happens, I ask you this question. What happens when you're pressed? When life squeezes you? Most of y'all know, and I know we got some of my firefighter guys here in the room, that when they train you, they stress you. And they put you in the most god-awful situations where you can't get out or you can't find your way out because, and the same in law enforcement, they stress you. They pepper spray you. They stress you because they want to see what happens. They want to see what comes out. Can you respond? And see, it's not just in those professions. It happens to all of us. See, when life squeezes us, what's inside comes out. The Bible says, three times, but in this particular instance in Luke chapter 6, it says, for the mouth speaks, excuse me, the mouth speaks what the heart's full of. And most of us have been told at one time we're full of something, right? And so I ask you this question, what is it? Because the real issue is not the tongue. The real issue lies in the heart. Because what's coming out from your tongue is not, your tongue's not making this up. Your mouth is not thinking for itself. Although sometimes it does feel like, you know, you're talking and you say something and you just, I wish I could grab it and pull it back in. I had a friend that told me, and we were talking about this tongue and controlling your mouth, and he made a reference. He said, the tongue and words are like a bullet. Once it's fired, it can't come back. And also once it's fired, it's going to hit its target. It's going to hit what it's pointed at. And it reveals in us the real issue is the heart. The Bible actually says in Proverbs, it holds this high standard. It says, above all else, guard your tongue. That's a no. Guard your heart. For everything you do flows from that. It's why we do what we do and how the way we do things here, of taking one step, of helping you heal. Helping let God heal hearts, let God heal wounds, so that as you begin to grow, you can take those one steps and your mouth changes. I've known some of you for 20 years, and we all can say, if you'd have known me back then, The things I used to say back then and the things I would never say that now and the things that come out of my mouth now, it's not just because you're suddenly so great. It's because of God took the real issue and began to work on the heart. Once you decide, okay, God, I'm done, I lay it down. Jesus, help me. And he began to change the path and change where we are. So let me just ask you this question, and if you're visiting, we ask this just about every week. What's our one step? I very much like to put cookies on the bottom shelf so we can all just walk out of here. Very rarely do I go super deep theology, because we need to take this home and be able to live it, to walk it, and to understand it, and to share it. So what's our one step? How do we deal with this tongue that can start fires? Well, if it's from the heart, the mess that comes from them, then Paul says this: you need a changed heart. You're never going to change what comes out of here until you change what's in here. It's just not going to happen. And I've had people tell me, well, I'm just not ready for that, Clint. I think I'll go try this way to get this under control. And I'll tell them, go ahead. The door will be open. You'll be back. Because you can't do it. We can't do it on our own. If we could, we wouldn't need Jesus. If loving, as much as I love my home and the property and the trees on my property, if me walking outside every morning and just loving that pine would get me to heaven, we wouldn't need Jesus. If me doing good, doing right, would get me to heaven and get me close to God, where my heart could change, then we wouldn't need Jesus. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, for God, who said, let there be light in darkness, has made this light to do something. To do what? To look down in this mess that we have and go, I can heal that. All I need you to do is just let me in. He says, let there be light in the darkness, and has made the light shine in our hearts so we could know something. Know who? No, God. It's really not even true to say something. He created it and did for us so we could know someone, so we could know God. It says we have this light shining in our hearts that makes it clear that we can't do it on our own, that our power comes from who?
God. Yes.
That it's not me. It's not you. It's us going, okay, God, I give up. We say this all the time. Come through the doors. If you're watching online, you come. Bring all your stuff with you. We actually had somebody come in here one day and bring a little baggie of crack. And we found some up here one day. And somebody just said, I just had enough. And I don't even know who it was. But in my mind's eye, I saw somebody comfortable enough to come through the doors and go, God, I'm out of my power. This is not working anymore. I need you to do something. I need you to help me. Because I keep saying it. It's just not working. And then once God begins to work in the heart, the mouth begins to change, the focus begins to change, the direction begins to change. Peter even says in 2 Peter, the more you grow like this, that the more you let God shine in the heart, and the more you let God in, the more we would say in our terms, take one step. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you'll be with something. With what? With knowing Daddy. With knowing Jesus. You see, nobody in this room is at the same level. People have been serving God different times. Some of you know way more Bible than I do. Melanie certainly knows way more Bible than I do. But God says, hey, you walk this path and you can begin to become more productive and useful in doing something with what I gave you. And learning to share that and use this mouth to not destroy, but to bring life. The second thing, how you change your heart. Change what you store up. Change what you store. Another way to say it was put a filter on it. Most of us at your homes maybe, whether you're on public water or well water like a lot of us, we put filters on our home to keep stuff from coming into the house. Yet with our lives and our heart, we don't. Because we'll watch anything. We'll listen to anything. And this is not this was not put here to bring condemnation on you. Because I think a lot of us, we want to justify what's not that bad. And I'm right there with you. Melanie, I'll tell you, one of my favorite things to watch on TV is to sit and relax, is to watch the police shows, NCIS. Who can beat Jethro Gibbs? If you don't know who Jethro Gibbs is, then shame on you. To watch the, and they took them off, and I know, and this is not the political statement, but I used to love to watch, grew up watching Cops. Bad boys, what you gonna do? Watching the reality, and what I've noticed is even in the last few years, I've even had to cut down the, and I have very strong political opinions. I'll share when it's appropriate. But you know what? I've had to really kind of cut some of that off because I found myself in my heart saying things I wouldn't have said when I ingested what I shouldn't ingest. But sometimes, even like with the cop shows, there are times where I just have to, okay, you know what? That's enough. I need to, we'll switch over and watch the Baking Challenge or something, or House Hunters and watch these people that don't work buy $600,000 houses. Y'all laugh because you know it's true. You watch them like, oh, there's Susie and Billy and they're going to buy their first house. Okay, what do they do? Well, she grows petunias and he builds birdhouses and they're going to buy a $600,000 house, in Napa Valley. But you got to change what you store up. Matthew writes in Matthew 12:35, he says, a good man brings good things out of the good things he's stored up. You can't bring good things out of bad. Now, God can turn and change and clean a bad thing and refresh it into good. But it says that an evil man brings evil things out of the evil he's stored up. David writes this. David says, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, God, may it be cool with you. May you be okay with what the things I say. And this one's hard for me. Because we all do it. We all say it and go, eee. I remember as a high schooler, growing up, I was saved early. I led Fellowship of Christian Athletes, playing ball, playing football and baseball in high school and into college. And I remember a day in high school where I just felt like God said, you need to clean your mouth up. I was hanging out with all the baseball players and the coaches, and I just found myself saying things I shouldn't. And for me, I had to go through this process of like deprogramming myself and swapping out words, Anybody make up cuss words? Yeah, it means the same thing, just so you know. It's not like God goes, oh, he said son of a biscuit. Oh, that's okay. See, I had to do the same thing. Before we had the building flood last fall, on the wall in my office, I had a printout that I stuck on the wall that just to remind me, okay, may the words of my mouth and the things I let in my heart, God, may they be okay to you. Just as a reminder, hey, you can fall real quick, so just pay attention. Pay attention to this. The third thing. If you're going to change things in your heart and your tongue directs your life, then choose words of life. I'll go back to your children. Choose words of life to speak over your children. They may be the most aggravating human on the planet. We all have one. If you don't, then I'll just tell you, you have one and just don't know it yet. But to be able to speak life over them, that our instant reaction is to go, you've misbehaved, you're terrible, you're worthless, you're useless, and then you spank them, you punish them, whatever it is that you do. But then you never bring it back around and go, you're smart. You're intelligent. Mabel, my 12-year-old, is sitting on the front row, and I'm not going to embarrass you and make her answer the question. But if you ask my girls this question, what does God say about you? They will answer it this way, that I'm a leader and not a follower, that I listen to him and nobody else. Now, do they always do it? Of course not. But it's in their heart. It's the same thing. Y'all have all heard me pray over our kids and say that you are whole, complete, and lacking nothing. Are they always whole, complete, and got it all together? Ain't no way. But it's speaking words of life, and sometimes it's faith. You know, the Bible says faith is calling things that aren't as though they were. Sometimes it's looking at that teenager and going, you are a respectful young man. And no one like, no, they really ain't. You know? But it's speaking and choosing words of life. And it really falls under this, and we'll close with these few things. Does what I'm about to say fit one of these four things? And there's 1,000 things. I like to give something you can take home, something you can think about. When I used to teach a lot of teenagers years ago, I would tell them, as you learn to hear God and you learn to think, ooh, that was God, that was not my conscience. A lot of times it sounds like somebody in the position of authority over your life, like a pastor. And I would tell these kids, we were on a camp, and they asked me to speak on holiness and purity. I'm like, really? At a teenage youth camp? Like, that's like the one they all avoid. And so we laughed and joked and talked about promiscuity and all that kind of stuff. And at the end, I told them, well, y'all are going home next week. And when you go home, your boyfriend's going to invite you to go on a date, and then he's going to get you in the car. Then the windows are going to start getting fogged up. Before that happens, you're going to hear in your head Pastor Clint saying, run, run. And they all laughed, hee, 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 that's funny, that's funny. You know, 2 years later, Melanie was with me. We were in Walmart in Statesboro, and this probably college freshman, and this was weird, who I didn't know, don't remember, standing in Walmart with my wife, this young college girl walks up and goes, do you remember me? I was like, I really don't know who she is. She goes, you were at a camp and you said that I would remember your voice when I was about to do something that I shouldn't. And she goes, thank you, you saved me. And I remember thinking that God used my words to somehow implant my goofiness in her heart. And then God used that connection with him to save her. She never actually said. And then she never told me who she was. She went, just have a good day. And she left. And I'm waiting, wanting to like, well, wait a minute. Who are you? And it took me a while to come back to and figure out this is who this was. So I want to give you these four things, and there may be more, but this is just a good start. Again, this is a grow-up series. And the first one is kindness. I know it sounds like preschool, but sometimes we got to go back to preschool. For all my daycare and pre-K people, today's for you. Kindness. Proverbs 3:2-3 says this, if you do this, it not only affects the other person, you'll live many years. And your life will be satisfying. Never let loyalty and kindness, what? Leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep. And it says this several places in the Bible. Tie them around your neck so you remember. And write them deep in your heart. Deep in that place that flows your life from. The second thing. Encourage. We are so quick to tell people and tell everybody how terrible they are, how that was awful. Now, there's times when you need to be truthful with somebody and tell them, listen, you know, we live in what I call the American Idol generation. Well, everybody thinks they're good at what they think they're good at. It's the kid that goes and auditions for American Idol, you know, back in the day with Simon Cowell, and Simon says, yeah, you're really terrible. And everybody's, boo, that's mean. No, sometimes you just need to be told that. You're not good at that. You need to try something else. You know, help people take a different direction. But in general, watch what the Bible says in Ephesians, watch what you talk, let nothing foul or dirty come out of your mouth, And I know, I just stop right there. And just for all of you, I can feel the resistance in your thought process. Let me just say, I get it. I understand. I'm no different than you. I get to those places where trying to control what's running around in here and what might come out here is a fight. The things I would never say in front of my kids or in public or much less on a platform is still stirring around in your heart somewhere, and it isn't mine because I'm not perfect. But he says, dirt, the things that come out of your mouth, say only what helps. And then it had a phrase that I had never really paid attention to until this week. It says that each word is a gift. And ask yourself, the person I'm talking to, do I want to give them something that's life, tastes good? Or am I intending to give them something that will hurt them and taste bad? Say only what helps, that each gift is a word. And then two more. Does what I'm about to say bring healing or heal? Proverbs 54:4 says that the kind words heal and help. Cutting words or mean words, they do things, wound and maim. And this goes back to the line that we talk about, that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Hogwash. I not only believe they can hurt you, I do believe that you can encourage somebody through faith, and you can help people build their faith. Your words are healing, and when they're healing, they build faith. So when you begin to speak to somebody who's going through a rough time, or you begin to speak to somebody who is struggling in their bodies, don't go in there trying to tell them what they already know. They know that life is tough. They know they've got cancer. They know that the world tells them that it's not going to turn out great. What they need to know is what's in here in you, and what's in here in us is hopefully what the Bible says in this scripture. And this is Paul writing to Romans, the Roman church. He says, I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gifts. It's that word that's a gift. You can do it with your family. You can do it with your kids. You can do it in the hospital room with somebody who just got bad news. I know what that word says, what the world says. But let me tell you, even though I may not understand it, let me tell you what I learned in church, what God told me, what God says. And that is that you can be whole, complete, and lacking nothing. That Jesus died for you just like he did for me. That by his stripes you were healed. That verse you maybe got in your one-year Bible that you just happen to remember. You don't even get it right. Give it to him. That it's kindness, encouragement, that it's healing. And some of you this morning need to hear the rest of hear this next verse in 2 Corinthians 4. And Paul says, we're not keeping this quiet. You can forget it. Just like the psalmist who wrote, I believe it, so I said it. We say what we believe. We say what's in our heart. And then he goes on to say, and what we believe is that the one who raised the master Jesus up will just as certainly make you alive. Amen. All from here to somebody who needs to hear it. Say this morning to some of you, you need to hear and you need to be encouraged, and I'm doing that now, that your faith is not useless. Your walk with God is not dead. Because you messed up doesn't mean it's over. Even if you've never met Jesus and don't understand kind of, hey, what is all this? The Bible says he's knocking at the door of your heart, waiting on you to open. And I'm encouraging this morning, pay attention to what comes out of your mouth. Speak life, speak healing. And when you don't, here's the great thing about God, and I believe this with people. Yes, I say something to hurt Melanie, but I can always come back behind it, not only with an apology, but then speak life. I know I said that about you, honey, and I'm sorry and I'm wrong. The truth is you are. And then give her life. And some of you may just need God to speak that over you this morning. and give you life, health, and strength. Amen? Amen. Why don't you bow your heads? Father, in Jesus' name, God, for those who are in the room who say, I don't know you, God. The Bible says, God, you say in your word that it's so simple. You just believe it in your heart. You confess it with your mouth that Jesus did come for me. And God, today, that I can be who you say I am and not who my words or even the world says I am. And if that's you this morning, if it's just one step of faith, you'll hear us say we never close the service, we never leave without offering people Jesus. And it's simply you saying, God, I'm sorry, I repent. I don't understand it all, but I know Jesus came and died and was raised again for me. And it's prayed that simply. God, move on hearts, heal hearts, help us open our lives to your goodness, your grace, and your mercy. We thank you for it, God. If that was you and you made that decision online or here in the room, you can grab that card in front of you and just mark it, drop it in the offering on your way out. We're not going to bother you. We just want to help you take your next step, what your one step is. In a minute, we're going to sing a song, and the reason we do one at the end is because I just like to give us all time to kind of let the word settle in our hearts, to worship God one more song, and to see what is God saying to me. For some of you, say, I may be in a position where I just need somebody to pray with me, and I need somebody to agree with me. Over to my right, to your left, we'll have a prayer team. All you got to do is walk up and just say, I just need you to pray with me. You don't have to tell them anymore. You can tell them as much or as little as you want so that we can agree with you and we can speak life over you and we can use the faith that's in our heart to lift your faith so that you can then go change lives forever. Amen? Amen. Why don't you stand, if you will? We're going to sing this one song. This is Who You Say I Am, that I am who God, you say I am because of what Jesus has done for me.